Are you tired of playing small and ready to step confidently into your greatness and share your unique brilliance with the world? Well, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I've dedicated nearly two decades to empowering individuals and leaders as they confidently navigate the twists and turns of life and career transitions. If you're seeking direction, connection, or just a little push to play bigger, consider this podcast your VIP pass to a community that genuinely understands your journey. Join me every week for candid conversations and practical guidance designed to help you navigate the challenges of life and business, foster a growth mindset, and cultivate meaningful connections. It's time to embrace your inherent power, define your unique purpose, and prosper in every aspect of your life. Let's get started. I'm excited to be here with you and to have this conversation. The women that have come on for the series so far have been amazing, and I have no doubt that today's conversation is going to be just that. So for those of you who are completely new to me, I am Sabine Gideon. I am the CEO of Gideon Enterprises, which is a professional development and leadership firm where we work with individuals, we work with organizations in supporting them and helping the leaders within these organizations and society in general transform into the best versions of themselves, pretty much. So without further delay, I want to introduce my amazing guest, Ms. Teresa Thomas, and she is the author of Win-Win Networking, your guidebook for confident and effective connections, and 50 Fun Things, Enjoy the Small Things. Through her Win-Win Connects umbrella brand, she catalyzes meaningful connections for people, possibilities, and purpose. With 25 plus years experience as a connector for groups and individuals, Teresa has helped thousands to connect and grow through her programs, presentations, books, and network. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you, Sabine. I'm really excited to not only share tips with you and that strategy, but also as a way to get to know you more, because the more I find out about you, you are a fascinating person. And that speaks to the power of being strategic in your network when it comes to especially LinkedIn, because that's how the two of us connected.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for that. So before we get into all the tips and tricks for those who are tuning in, tell us a little bit about you, your career journey, you know, what led you to building up this network so that we can get a little bit of insight on the past.
Well, it's kind of a crazy past that one wouldn't expect. Like anybody that knew me as a child would never, ever think that I would be doing something to do with networking. And that's because I was painfully shy. And when I turned 18, had a life-changing moment like we all do at some time in our life that woke me up to, hey, life could be short and I want to be more involved in life and have connections that really matter to me. And so I got curious about that as I was growing up, like noticing how other people were making it look so easy. And I learned a lot about myself and how I want to show up in the world and how I want to treat other people. And then I've always been drawn to what makes somebody tick. You know, so actually I was an art major, but I was really focused on the creative process, the expression, the connection that happens when people are creating or appreciating art. And so that was my first clue. It was like, okay, I just love to bring really great people together for really amazing things to happen. And I'll give you a little secret is when you're somebody who's reserved or maybe even shy, when you focus on other people, it makes your networking so much easier. So I think that was something I figured out earlier on. I was like, oh, if I introduce this person and this person, they will talk. I'll be part of it. I still get to network and get to know them, but I don't have to be the center of attention when I highlight other people and bring them together. So that was not a planned strategy. It was one that made me feel comfortable and I still use that today. And then fast forward, I was facilitating workshops and presentations for team building and goal setting and envisioning the future that people wanted. And I started getting asked, well, could you facilitate networking events? I'm like, oh yeah, it's all about connecting and, you know, goal setting and thinking about your future. So I started doing that. And then the local group, Women in Networking, like 17, 18 years ago, they had me in to present a couple times. And then they asked if I would take on the leadership of the group. They said, well, you would love it because you just love facilitating and you love connecting people. I'm like, you're right. That is perfect. So it wasn't, that part wasn't strategic. That part was me following my passion and also following encouragement of other people that saw my gifts and how my gifts could help other people to move forward in their careers or lives. And so, yeah, it's been a good match. And when you're ready to talk about LinkedIn later, I can tell you how things changed from when we were in person and local to then the pandemic and growing in the LinkedIn group. And I can go into more details about that part.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for giving us that overview and dropping gems with regards to how those who are shy or maybe more introverted can navigate networking in a way that feels comfortable for them. Because, you know, there's this assumption that people who are good networkers are extroverts. And I don't believe that that's necessarily true. And, you know, I think also too, people who are more introverted tend to be like, okay, well, I'm not extroverted, so I'm not going to go there. Where in fact, you know, there's a place for everyone. And it is so critical for your success, whether you are in corporate or you're in entrepreneurial space. So thank you for kind of breaking down that wall, if you will, so early on, so that this is a space for, regardless of whether you identify as extroverted, introverted, shy, ambivert, whatever you want to call it, that there are strategies that you can test out at the very least that may feel more comfortable and more authentic and safe for you. So thank you for that. So getting into, you know, some of the work that you've done, especially with the LinkedIn network. So for those of you who are listening, of course, I met Teresa on LinkedIn. This is where I meet most people, at least at first, until I meet them in person. And so when I decided to do this series, I wanted to see who were the other women within my broader network who were really occupying the space of networking or talking about networking or teaching networking. And I came across Teresa's profile. I think at the time we were second connections, but we had a whole bunch of mutual connections. And then when I looked, I saw that she was running this group of thousands of women who were interested in networking. So immediately my ears perked up. And not only that, that it is an active group. As we know, LinkedIn has gone through its seasons, if you will, of like groups being popular, groups not being popular, then they're popular again. So the fact that you've been able to maintain and sustain this active group of individuals is really, really impressive. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what the focus of the group is, who joins the group, like what are some of the benefits of being part of it?
Yeah, so I'll share a bit about the evolution of the group. And I'll be really open about the process for others who are looking at creating a group for building a network. And the LinkedIn group started out at about 200 people. This was several years ago. And to be honest, I was putting more attention and prioritizing in-person networking at that time. And when the pandemic hit, it wasn't an option. It needed to be networking online and connecting people in that way. So it was a learning experience. What I loved was I started to see how LinkedIn was helping me to make genuine, mutually beneficial connections around the world, which is something I'd always wanted, but I didn't know how to go about it. And all of a sudden, I was connecting about shared interests or hearing somebody who's an expert in something I wanted to learn and just being amazed, or people with common goals. And so then I'm like, okay, LinkedIn is more powerful than I had given it credit. And I started being more intentional with the group. And so we started, myself and some volunteers, we started posting networking tips and conversation starters. And then word of mouth, it is a private group. So we want to make sure that it doesn't get, you know, filled with spam and people that aren't really upholding the intention of the group for meaningful connection and conversation. And so now we are well over 7,000 women around the world that are in the group. To be honest, we're still figuring out how to make it even more valuable and engaging, because when you get to that number of people, it's a lot to manage. And so I still will post, I post networking tips, and then I post networking conversation starters to encourage connection and conversation and engagement in the group. And so I'm continuing to do that, but I'm really interested in seeing in the future, I'd love to see what LinkedIn does to really help pockets of community within a group connect, because it would, if there's somebody that wants to connect with somebody in their region or their field, right now it's so many in this big group. So I'm keeping my eye on how to make this even better, how to make it so that if somebody who's in the group finds value and makes those good connections. And I also want people, wherever they are with their networking skills, when they participate in our LinkedIn group, to walk away feeling like they've learned something or experienced something that takes their networking to the next level.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I was part of it. It makes me think of like what I've done to kind of really engage in a group, because to your point, when it's thousands of people and when the algorithm is algorithming, you don't know if like your post will get out there. And so there was another community that I had joined a little while back. And when I went on there, I was just like, oh my gosh, these people are doing really amazing things. I looked at their background. And obviously, there's not a way to essentially connect on one-on-one oftentimes, well, at all in the group. And so I took the initiative and I reached out to connect with the individuals one-on-one and was just like, hey, we're both part of this community, would love to learn about you. And had some really, really great conversations, met some wonderful people. Those connections turned into connections. So I think part of the onus too is, you know, obviously you figuring out how to get people to connect on within the group, but also individuals, if you are part of a group, being okay with just saying, hey, we're part of the same group. We have this common connection. Would love to connect with you and chat as well, especially since it's a networking group without, of course, being spammy. And,
exactly. Yes. That's an excellent strategy, is when you see people that you resonate with and then you know, connect with them and get to know them more that way. Everything you said is just exactly what I want to happen in the group. And it is really fun when I start seeing connections in the group, like conversations, and I see people like, oh, they're getting to know each other. This is so exciting. Love that.
Yes. So, you know, I love the fact that you have the expertise on the in-person side as well as the online. And obviously it was by circumstance that you had to do that. But now that the world is opening, right, we're seeing a lot more opportunities for people to get back in person. And actually, you know, there's just this like yearning in the consciousness to be with other people again after being isolated, you know, for so many years. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts in terms of for people who are, you know, maybe they have not been out in a while, they got so comfortable being behind the screen, i.e. me, what tips can you give in terms of how to ease your way back into being in person? That's what part one. And then two, because networking, the narrative around networking, I feel has shifted where it's a lot less transactional, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And it is really about building relationships. How can they begin to ease their way into one, stepping out, and then two, shifting from a transactional mindset, if they had that, to more relationship building?
Yeah, that's all true. Where now that we're re-entering, there is a lot of social anxiety that a lot of people are carrying. But what the beautiful thing that I'm seeing is people are way more intentional about how they spend their time, who they spend their time with, and how it moves them forward in their lives. So I'm seeing less people going back to business as usual habits of what they always did, but weren't really sure if it gave them results or if it even made them, you know, fulfilled their interests or energized them. So what I love is people are stepping back and assessing, okay, how do I want to network? And I loved what you said earlier about trying things, because a lot of people, if they haven't done a lot of networking, they expect that networking is all the same, same kind of layout, same kind of vibe, and it's not. And the old way of networking was often like, join this group. You have to come X number of times, instead of, you know, being part of multiple communities and having those intersections happen. And so I encourage people to try out different ways of networking, see how that fits for you, how it serves your goals and your intentions for networking, and be fluid in it. It might not always be the same, because most people, our goals change over time. And when our goals change, well, then that probably also not only affects the way we introduce ourselves or the ways that we, you know, maybe ask for input or resources from the people we meet, but it also influences, you know, where, how often, the messages that we're sharing in our networking. So just really that intentionality just keeps coming up, is not feeling like you have to do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And that networking doesn't even have to be called networking. Some of my best networking that I do, I love learning. Like if there's something I really want to learn and I go to a conference or a workshop on what I want to learn, it attracts the same types of people that want to learn the same things. And then we automatically, like, really easily bond and share. And, you know, it's, I love that. So, so my main message is kind of stand back, see what's working, try it out. Don't give up if one way doesn't work, like try some other ways. And then I can go into this in more detail later if you'd like, but I recently posted on the power of having a role in your networking. And when you have a role, then you can set the terms of what you, you know, want from the networking, especially if you're leading networking. Like for you, for example, Sabine, having this podcast is a really brilliant strategic way of networking, because your listeners will then identify, like, oh, do I resonate? Is this, you know, is Sabine a great resource for me? And then they feel like they know you, which opens the door if there's a mutually beneficial connection. And so it's a great way to, if you think about being intentional, how you show up, how you're perceived, how you follow up, all that builds to much higher success in networking. Yeah.
I agree. I love the fact that you brought up the fact that people are being more intentional, right? Because I think what the pandemic did was give everybody that moment to pause and ask themselves, like, why am I doing all these things? Mm-hmm. Like, why do I feel like I have to be everywhere? And now that, you know, people, they value, not that they didn't value their time anymore before, but like they value their time so much more now. So it's really about, is this not necessarily what am I going to get from this, but is there like a reciprocal. ROI in spending this time here? So I totally agree with you in that. And I would love to hear about your post. I didn't see that around the power of the role when it comes to networking.
Yeah, I can touch upon it. But if you imagine all the different ways you could have a role, there would be, so say it's an in-person event. You could volunteer to be checking people in as they arrive, greeting people, assisting with the setup, or maybe you are on the planning committee, or maybe you are sponsoring the event, or tabling, or you're the speaker. All of those things automatically elevate you in so many ways because, well, and there's also some really nice benefits for making you feel more comfortable with your networking, because when you have a role, it's so much easier to enter and exit a conversation. because like, oh, so glad to have you here. Tell me about you. Oh, well, this is a little bit about me. And yes, let's make sure we connect later. And then it's obvious you have to get to the next thing that you're doing. And you, a lot of times when you have a role, you get to see who's coming in advance and have a sense like, oh, I really have been wanting to meet her. I'll make sure that I, you know, find her during the event. It elevates your sense of presence and credibility when you are have an active role. And like, just like I was saying for you with your podcast, if somebody's a speaker or a sponsor, then everyone in the room knows who that person is. And then those people that are the best connections will connect. And it, there's even more that I could say about the positive power of having a role. One more thing I will say is I have started training others to facilitate networking events and groups and in a way that creates meaningful connection. And when I'm doing that is I'm getting feedback from facilitators that when they can't find a group that fits what they want, well, then create your own. Mm-hmm. And to not have to start from, you know, square one, have that guidance and support. And it's, that's a great thing. And it could be online. It could, you know, somebody could have an online group. That's another way to kind of be, well, front of room, but behind a computer. So yeah, it's food for thought, to think about if there are ways you could play roles in your networking. And then my little secret tool that I have is I, well, it's not secret because I've told you and I've told your audience, but when I enter a networking event that I'm not running myself, because my own networking events, I plan them for what I want. You know, of course I would. But when I go to somebody else's networking event, I might start feeling my shyness start coming up. I'm like, okay, I don't know how they do things. And so what really gets me over that hump is I just, you know, appoint myself the goodwill ambassador of the event. And nobody knows that I'm doing that except me, but it just elevates my confidence because I'm like, everybody I meet, I am going to make sure that they leave our conversation feeling uplifted or supported, or that I help them to meet somebody or to have a great experience. And I'll be a great listener, and then I'll be relevant in how I follow up. So that really it increases confidence when you really are present and listen and hear what the other person needs, because then you can be, yeah, that relevancy and deepens that connection versus when people get nervous, usually they start shutting down and not listening, and it becomes clear to the other person that they're not being heard. And then, so that's a way to get over that.
Hey there, powerhouse. Ready to accelerate your growth and amplify your impact? Well, listen closely. If you're ready to supercharge your professional growth, cultivate meaningful connections, and open doors to exciting opportunities, then mark your calendar to join me during the next masterclass. During this immersive training, you'll learn the art of cultivating relationships that not only enrich your life, but also have the potential to propel your career forward. Head over to SabineGideon.com/masterclass today to register. There's no fee to participate. And of course, I've included a link below in the show notes for your convenience. Don't miss out and register today. Trust me, your future self will thank you. Use the link in the show notes to reserve your seat, and I'll see you inside. Thank you for sharing that secret with us. I mean, I love the intentionality, and I love the way that you have found a way to empower yourself, or better yet, step into your own power, right? In deciding, this is who I'm going to be, this is how I'm going to show up, this is what I'm going to give, and what I'm expecting. So I hope for those of you who are tuning in, or for those of you who are listening, you're hearing this, right? Like, you have power in wherever, whatever room you step into, and you get to decide what the outcome is for that night. It's so funny. I had a going back to what you said about the social anxiety, and then also this, during the pandemic, obviously, like I didn't stop networking. I just did it mostly online. But shortly after, and by shortly after, I mean 2 years later, I found that like I still did not want to go to in-person events. And it had nothing to do with, you know, the COVID-19 or anything like that. I had just gotten so comfortable in my routine and, you know, not being around people. And I remember being invited to something here locally. And, you know, it was an event for an organization that I'm part of. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go. And then the night of, I was starting to like get ready and I was just like, oh, but you know, my hair's not done. And then I don't know, like, and I literally within 5 minutes talked myself out of something that like, I was so excited to be in. And it wasn't until later in the week, someone else, because it was a week long conference, someone else reached out to me and they were like, oh, hey, I went to this conference. They have this expo, like we should go. And immediately I felt this this relief, like, oh, okay, if I'm here with this person, then okay, it'll be okay. And I was like, that was that moment where I was like, okay, pause. Who are you right now? Like, mm-hmm. When have you ever needed a buddy to be at an event? But it made me realize that, you know, part of me talking myself out of that event and previous events was really social anxiety. Like I forgot how to be around people. I didn't want to be around people, you name it. Mm-hmm. So it is real. And even if you are extroverted, even if you love being around people, just recognizing that if you are feeling a little bit of social anxiety and you have an event to go to, invite someone. Yes. Invite someone to go there with you so that they can be, you know, your support person. And then it's like, once I got there, I did my thing, right? It was nothing. But knowing that someone else was there made it a lot easier for me to step out and attend.
Oh, absolutely. And that whole buddy networking thing is so helpful. Like, even if somebody's not nervous, it's helpful because you, and I encourage people to also have a strategy with your networking buddy to say, okay, you know, what are you hoping for the event? Well, this is what I'm hoping for the event. And then not being tied to the hip, but you know, when you want that comfort person, you can come back, but then you, what I love is introducing each other, you know, to the people that we're meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's a really wonderful thing too. And I have a much easier time talking about how great somebody else is than myself. And so when I've done buddy networking, and sometimes my buddy doesn't even know that I'm doing this, they're like, they're my buddy, but they don't know that I have a strategy. But I'll just talk about like, oh my gosh, if you know, want an editor, this, she is amazing. And this is what she's done. And then without her even knowing, it's natural for her then to say, oh, well, I've really loved working with Teresa because of dot, dot, dot. And then the person that we're meeting is automatically more interested in what we're doing because we're sharing a reciprocal energy that we're including this new person in. And so they're feeling like, oh, I want to be included in this. And then, you know, we ask them to share about themselves. And I could go on and on about that because I love, you can tell that I love bringing really amazing people together and seeing what happens. And that buddy networking is a really, really good way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so going back to the connector, and then I want to switch gears on talking about LinkedIn specifically. So I literally just posted about being a connector because my guest a couple weeks back said, you know, if nothing else, right, if you don't feel comfortable going to events, if you don't feel comfortable introducing yourself and whatnot, like be the connector, because this connector is like, one, it helps you, to your point, right, break out of your shell, get comfortable. But then it also, people are going to remember that, oh, Teresa's the one who connected us, right? Like that stays firm in people's mind. I used to do, or I still do it, a workshop. And this was more centered around people who were in organizations when they were thinking about their broader, I called it a success circle then, but who are your board of advisors within the organization, within and without, right? So it's your sponsor, it's your mentor, if you have a coach, your manager, your peers. But I also included the super connector. And I was just like, you want to have a super connector, having that critical person. Like that is, if you're listening to this and you don't have a super connector in your life, get one, make friends with the super connector. It is that person where no matter what you have going on, no matter what you ask for, they know someone. or they can get you someone. And in an organization especially, they're usually the gatekeepers. So if you can make friends with the gatekeeper, then you might have access to, you know, the person that you're trying to meet. So there is power in being the connector. But if that's not the role that you want to play, you want to make sure that you have some super connectors in your corner for sure.
That's a brilliant point. Yes. Very strategic.
Yes. So, and now shifting gears to LinkedIn here. So I've been on LinkedIn for a long, long time. And I've seen the changes. I've leveraged it back when I was in corporate as a recruiter. And obviously in entrepreneurship now, I do a lot of networking on here. Like I'm a big fan of LinkedIn for so many different reasons. It's the only platform where I feel like I can genuinely meet someone, connect with them, have conversations, take it offline. Like literally, I have friends to this day that like they're actual real friends. Some of them I've met in real life. Some of them I've never met in real life. But it was just me sending a connection request and saying, hey, you're doing this, would love to connect with you. And so I have been able to leverage LinkedIn to actually build real relationships with people. I've also been able to leverage LinkedIn to build my business, obviously. And so I'm curious for you, how have you leveraged LinkedIn? Obviously, you have the network and the platform that you're managing. But how, like, what impact has LinkedIn had for you in your professional or personal life?
Well, one of my favorite things about LinkedIn, aside from the LinkedIn group that I was just mentioning, is for me, it's a really easy way to do follow-up and let somebody know that they matter, that I valued our connection. But not every connection is clear about like where it goes or is there going to be conversation. And so what I like is that LinkedIn sets the stage for loose connections to stay connected. And that over time, when you start seeing what each other posts or what they're doing or where they're working, you may see like, oh, we need to talk about this. This is exciting. Or, oh, do you know so-and-so? Or, oh, this place is hiring. Or, so I love that. And I love it also because of the loose connection, it's sort of like you with a podcast. You can do posts, you can have a newsletter, a LinkedIn newsletter, you can, you know, have articles, and all these are ways to stay connected to the people in your LinkedIn network. And then they bubble up when they're interested in what you're sharing. And then there have been times where like years after somebody has connected with me, you know, maybe they, you know, work for an organization and they move to a different company and they'll reach out and say, oh, you know, this company could really use what you do. Would you like, you know, could you come in and do a workshop? And like, oh my gosh, I hadn't heard from that person for 10 years. But I like that LinkedIn keeps us connected in that way. And most recently, I've been really enjoying the LinkedIn newsletter feature. I had one newsletter that I sent out, and I want to say within a day, there were 800 people that subscribed, and a lot of them, I didn't know who they were, and I'm like, oh, wow. And so then it just started this year with somebody else in the Women in Networking LinkedIn group. We started a monthly newsletter with networking tips, and that immediately had 700 and, you know, some followers, and it was just so fun to see. That's one other way to use LinkedIn to connect with people who could be possible great connections. So I've been having fun with that.
I've been going back and forth on doing the newsletter thing. It's just going back to being intentional with the time. It's just like, is this really how I want to spend my time? So that's on pause. One other thing that I wanted to point out before I ask my next question was, so I just talked about the super connector and how like you want to make sure that you're connected with one. So one thing that I noticed was that your URL, which is amazing and smart, like genius, that you changed it. So most of the time, for those of you who are listening, if you've never checked it out, whenever you start your account, like LinkedIn gives you this, you know, multiple numbers, right? So it'll be linkedin.com at n and like 10 to 15 numbers. we advise that you go in and you change it so that it's your name, so that, you know, you have that URL, and that's a URL that you can share at any time, and it's easy for other people to remember. So Teresa's URL is Super Connector. Like, that is the name that she has on there. So I just want to point out how brilliant that is that you did that. Secondly, how mad that I am that I can't use that URL now. But that goes to show you, like, if anyone were to do a search, and remember, LinkedIn in every way is like a search engine. So usually if you ever have tried to Google yourself, if you have a website, that might be the first thing that comes up. But then second is more than likely going to be LinkedIn. So when you think about it, especially for those of you who are in business, who are listening right now, you know, one, if that URL is not your name, let's go ahead and change that. But, you know, you also have the opportunity to change it to whatever, so that if someone is going into Google to search for it, you are going to come up.
Can I tell you a funny story about the Super Connector URL? I'll just be brief. Okay. So the Super Connector URL, I started that way back when I actually had a website. I had a service called Connection Concierge, and my little animated self had a cape, and it was like, we're going to, you know, I'm going to come to the rescue and help you make the right connections. And so I call myself the Super Connector for that service. And so that's what I used for my URL. And then through LinkedIn and Twitter, I got a notification from somebody who's a LinkedIn expert in the UK. And she said, oh, I have a business called, she goes by Super Connector for what she does with LinkedIn. And she said, I noticed you don't really use Twitter. Would you mind, like, could I have that handle? And so I was like, sure. So, so I gave her the handle. And then we, over the years, have gotten to know each other. We've collaborated on projects. We have a lot of people in common now. And she's one of my favorite connections that I made, specifically because we connected online. She saw a URL. We realized we had a lot in common. And if anyone, she's in our LinkedIn group too, but Jennifer Corcoran, and she's fantastic. She's definitely a super connector in the LinkedIn world.
Yeah. So as far as like LinkedIn, I don't know, tips and tricks and whatnot, because I know you do some training on LinkedIn as well. What have you seen, or what have your clients or other facilitators found as like the most beneficial tip on navigating the platform itself?
Sure. So I do teach on networking and train others on that. And I feel like I'm pretty good with LinkedIn, but I have to say I am not a trainer. So what I do is I refer people to trainers such as Jen Corcoran, who you were just talking about, because they are so good and they're so they follow the trends and the techniques. And so I learned from them and then use that myself. But personally, the things that I'll say as a non-expert are that I find useful is to regularly post. Now, sometimes I forget or I get busy and I don't. But to regularly post, it helps you to stay connected with your networking community. And so what I mean by that is, especially if you can share an article or share something that is your own content, if you can. You can share other people's content, but then that helps them get to know your interests, but it doesn't really help them to get to know you and your expertise and what you might be like to work with. This is one thing that I love doing. It goes back to the in-person and how I love talking about how great other people are. I also like to do that on LinkedIn. So when I post something, if I was inspired by somebody or I learned something from somebody, I like to tag them and thank them. And it feels good. And it makes me feel like whatever I'm posting is even more meaningful because I'm showing someone that I respect and appreciate how they've influenced me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love seeing those posts and reading those because, you know, they're genuine, right? Like it's just in that moment that someone is saying, I want to recognize this person. And it also, for that person who is tagged, other people in the network get to see them, right? So you think about this, you know, along the lines of networking, your personal brand is a big part of it as well. And so it's that, what are people saying about you? And that's a huge piece of building trust. I want to be respectful of your time, and I want to jump into our blitz session here. So we're going to try to get three questions in the next 2 minutes. So first one's up. So based on what you know now, you know, throughout your career and all of your experiences, if you could go back to the shy version of Teresa and give her a piece of advice, what might that be?
That what makes you different and unique is what makes you special and sets you apart.
Mic drop. Love that. Love that. Okay. And then looking forward, as you, you know, continue this work, continue to impact the lives of others, continue to connect people, when you're looking back at your career, you're looking back at your life, what do you want the narrative to be?
I'm a very purpose-driven person, and I feel like my life is meant to connect really wonderful people so that they can have fulfilling lives. I feel like that's my way of making the world a better place, and it ripples out, and I don't always know the effect that I'm having, but I get enough feedback that it fuels me like, okay, this is who I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be that connector, that encourager, that catalyst. And so even if my name wasn't remembered, I would want my legacy to be that I've opened up for people to see ways that they can connect with each other with less barriers, see the humanity in each other, to want the best for each other. I know, some people have accused me of being Pollyanna with that, but that's really the vision, is like when we share what we care about and our joys, that's a bridge builder. When we show that we're interested in what somebody does, that's a bridge builder. And so that's what I strive to do in everything I do, is just foster those connections that feel purposeful, meaningful, mutually beneficial.
I love that. I love that. And there's nothing Pollyanna about that. I do believe that we each have, you know, like a big divine purpose, and it's always rooted back into leaving the world better than how we found it, and touching the lives of those we get to engage with. So I love that as your legacy. And then last but not least, as you think about any books or a book that has been pivotal for you in your development, whether personally or professionally, what might that be?
Yeah. So there is a book, I read it long ago, and it's by someone here local, Dr. Verna Cornelia Price, and she wrote The Power of People, The Four Kinds of People Who Can Change Your Life. And her message is really clear and powerful and can be applied to work, business, networking, personal relationships. And she talks about adders, subtractors, multipliers, and dividers, explains what those qualities are, and then explains how to be really intentional with being with the adders and the multipliers, and yourself being showing up as an adder and a multiplier. And so I've recommended that to so many people. It's a book that you'll read it and you'll like remember it forever.
Okay. Awesome. I will include that in the show notes. And can you say the name of the author again?
Yeah, it's Dr. Verna Cornelia Price.
Okay. Awesome. That will be included in the show notes. With that, Teresa, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your nuggets of wisdom, for showing up, and obviously the tips that you've given on how to be a connector, how to navigate networking, regardless of whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. One last thing, how can people connect with you if they want to connect with you? And then what do you have going on that you would like to share with the audience?
Sure. So the main way since we've been talking about LinkedIn, connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know. Don't just do the blind, you know, like, hey, connect, but include a note that you listened to this podcast and share something you appreciated about maybe a tip that you learned, and in your connection request. And so that is the LinkedIn. my profile is just Super Connector, so it's easy to find me that way. And if you're a woman in business and you want to be in Wynn's private LinkedIn group, let me know that, and I can send you the link to join. And then we've got the newsletter. If you follow Women in Networking business page on LinkedIn, we post it there. I also post it on my personal profile when it comes out once a month.
And we will also include your books in the show notes as well, so that for my audience, they know, I say it all the time, leaders are readers. So that will be a great resource for them to check out some your content around networking.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. Thank you for this conversation. I walked away energized and ready to network today. So thank you for that. And of course, for those of you who are on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me if you have questions. And please connect with Teresa. Let her know that you heard her on the podcast and maybe a tip or a takeaway. So with that, we'll be back next week with another female powerhouse. Have a great rest of the day. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you found today's conversation helpful or got a piece of insight that you plan to implement in your life, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn at Sabine Gideon and send me a message, or feel free to leave a review on either Apple or Spotify. I also invite you to share this episode with anyone in your network, another powerhouse possibly, who you think might benefit from today's conversation. Lastly, as always, any links, any resources, or any upcoming training is included in the show notes, so be sure to check that before you leave today. Until we chat again, have a blessed and powerful week.